And it is, which is, I have read some of the issues with, I'm not up on the technical stuff, but the nature of the charitable status and the nature of public support. And I know Florence has said things in the past about, you know, she's expressed disquiet, Florence, the chairman of the board, over individual large donations from, large donations from individuals. I'm sure that this is a different kettle of fish, really, because Alfred Sloan is so massively well established. But it does mark again to talk. We were talking about culture shifts towards credentials, and we're going to move on to the science stuff in a moment. But for me, this marks another sort of this movement towards institutional grants. It's sort of part of Wikipedia growing up. It's a sort of, you know, the next stage.
It's kind of a mark that we've made it, that, you know, we're big enough that we're attracting this kind of attention. Wikipedia hasn't. It's not Wikipedia that's changed; it's that we've become more visible, and that has allowed us to kind of pull in these grants on the basis of name recognition more than any kind of any more than it's not an indicator that we've changed so much as that we've established ourselves.
And indeed, it makes the upcoming board elections, which we'll no doubt cover when there's some news, you know, because they're a few months away yet. But the foundation is obviously, as it gets wealthier, it's going to have more ability to do more of whatever it is it chooses to do. And the direction of the foundation is going to be, you know, very interesting to watch and to look at. We're sitting here at, you know, I'm mainly involved with the English Wikipedia, and I know that you guys are too. And there's also things like Commons, but the growing relationship, or how it evolves, the relationship between the foundation, which, you know, will be the wealthy foundation, hopefully, if more of this money comes in, and the individual Wikipedias, that's by no means set in stone either. So I think these dynamics are all going to have to evolve, and it'll be interesting to watch. I'm going to move on there. Has anyone got anything else, Phil? What's your take on this good news that we've suddenly got more money?
I do think it's a sign that finally the world is starting to wake up to the fact that we've arrived and we're here, and we're actually a kind of a major cultural force, not just in our home country in the United States, but around the world, and going to continue to be so. In fact,
you're not a major cultural force and become a verb.
That's right. And, well, we're definitely getting there. you know, I oftentimes meet people who are very discouraged. They think it's failing and so on. And I will admit that probably what I say is, I don't have the statistics off the top of my head, but 99 times out of 100, if I look at an article, I just cringe. I go, oh, this is awful. However, it's not all bad news, because if you look at just about any FA, a featured article or average article, and look at it 2 years ago, or even look at what the standard of an FA was 2 or 3 years back when they were fairly new, you can see that we actually are definitely making a serious amount of progress. So as bad as many of our articles are, we are actually improving quite drastically. And that's noticeable. And our history is right there. You can go and check it and see. And it's actually quite startling to actually see how, in general, most articles actually are a lot better than they were a year ago, 2 years ago, and so on.
That brings us quite nicely to the area that you said you were most interested in, Phil. You're active in the sciences and that world, and you brought up the issue of how we deal with, you know, either fringe views or alternative views, and what's the beef there as you see it?
Well, we have, and I don't happen to be as much of an expert as some, like say science apologist who's really dedicated himself in this direction, but I have a little bit been involved in this in the evolutionary area and some associated fringe beliefs, and now more recently in alternative medicine and fringe beliefs associated with that in medicine, and a little bit in the conspiracy theory area. The problem is, as I see it, we have a
Don't
fair...
global warming.
Global warming's another one I did get involved with a little bit.
Probably one of the more
what's the word I'm looking for here?
Contentious areas.
I
do have a pretty strong technical background, but what I do to avoid driving myself crazy is I, on purpose, work in areas, technical areas, even though I have a background in science and mathematics, I work in areas in which I have no expertise. So there are contentious areas in which I have expertise, but I try to stay away from those. People that I know, for example, I have a couple of friends that are doctors, and they try to edit the medicine articles, and it just drives them crazy because you get assorted fringe types. And
well, for the record, I don't think we should paint them all with such a wide brush. I forget who, but there's some group did a study. They took the 100 or 120 most common procedures done in the U.S., looked them up on Wikipedia, and more or less, you know, assessed the quality of the articles. And they found, first of all, almost all of them had articles, which was shocking in and of itself, and that the quality was pretty good.
We're not as bad as you might think. Yes, I would agree with that.
So what you're tending to do, and this is of course natural, is that you're generalizing based on a few very contentious articles, whereas right. The majority are actually pretty good. A few.
Yes.
Like homeopathy or homeopathy is really kind of a nasty one. But for every article like that, there's 20 more that.
With homeopathy, Phil, I've had a brief look, and I gather that you've been there.
I'm deeply embedded in the homeopathy. Now, I'm no expert in homeopathy. I just went in there to try and help out a little bit, so I'm quite deeply embedded in that entire controversy. Yes,
To look at that article, does that encapsulate or kind of that represents the issues as you see them, like across the board?
Yes, that's. I see similar things going on with evolution and creationism and intelligent design. I see similar things going on in the conspiracy theory area. I do see similar things going on in the global warming area.
So when you say what goes on, Phil? What happens?
You have a dedicated group with a sort of non-mainstream views that come in, and sometimes a fairly large group. And they would like to rewrite the definition of what a reliable source is, or what NPOV is, or what they would like to ignore the strictures against no original research. They really want they have an agenda, and they want to use Wikipedia as a platform to push this agenda on the world. In fact, one that's that looks like it'll get a little contentious here, just as an example, a simple one, sunscreen. So if you look back in October, we had a pretty stable, balanced article that said there's some good features in sunscreen, some bad features. And then starting with a few anonymous accounts and now with a few others, we've had a fairly large body of people who've come in to change the article completely in the last few months, where the sunscreen article now says, never use any sunscreen, all sunscreen causes cancer, and the sunscreen companies are all evil and horrible and out to kill you. That's what the sunscreen article says now, and we're trying to debate on the fringe notice board, what do we actually do to clean this up? We went from a fairly nice balanced article in a few months to sort of a disaster. And it's not written with very good English anymore as well. So
that's, I mean, you're exaggerating, are you? Because
exaggerating slightly, but you can take a look for yourself and judge for yourself.
Probably not. That's actually, that seems to be the cycle with a good number of articles, to go just like that.
If you don't have someone really maintaining it, someone can come in, if there aren't a lot of people watching it carefully, and they can erode it fairly quickly if somebody's not really...
To take this case in point, which actually is quite interesting, it says, we've got the first sentence, which says, sunscreen is a lotion, spray, or topical product that is supposed to protect the skin from the sun's ultraviolet radiation. And I guess right off the bat, that seems
supposed
to me...
Supposed to protect it?
Exactly.
Yes.
And then third sentence is, however, the effect of sunscreen use on the incidences of malignant melanoma, which is caused by indirect DNA damage, is still under dispute. I take your point, Phil. That's certainly, if I were to, before having looked at the sunscreen article, if someone were to say, what sort of things should it say, it would say, you'd expect it to be from a neutral point of view, and to sort of lay out all the facts as they're mentioned in reliable sources.
And it used to.
Is this something that more eyes on certain articles can fix, or do you think we need to sort of do we need some
more
new rules?
The right kind of eyes, not the wrong kind of eyes.
Yes, if you get more of the wrong kind of eyes, there's going to be trouble. In fact, that's what happened to us in homeopathy. It was stable but awful back, say, last June of 2007. Then I and Wiki Dude Man and a few other people, rewrote it. So by September, October, we thought it was pretty good, and we let it go through to a good article, GA. And once it got to a GA status, somebody must have posted it someplace on homeopathy boards or something. We got a huge flood of new eyes from the outside, new users. It's hard to know who's a sock puppet and who's a meat puppet and who they all, how many independent sets of eyes we've got. But I would say somewhere between half a dozen and a dozen new sets of eyes.
That's, for the record, that's when Check User comes in great handy, or yes, having somebody who can do it for you.
Right.
Yes.
So we've had a huge influx of new people from the outside who do not want to present the view that their homeopathy is a fringe activity. They don't want to believe it's fringe. They want to say it's mainstream. They want to say all regular medicine is evil. They don't want any mention that it's controversial.
Bob, why don't you define what it is for the people who are listening and don't know?
Yes. That's a good thing, because especially in the United States, most people aren't going to know what it is, because it is so much of a fringe activity. Yeah, what homeopathy is, it's based on an idea of a man named Samuel Hahnemann, who was a German physician about 200 years ago, and it's basically has two or three main ideas, and I'm going to just make it very, very simple, but there's a lot more to this. One of the things that's very controversial about is it relies on diluting the active ingredient down so much that when you take a medication, a homeopathic medication, it may not have a single molecule left of the active ingredient. And in fact, even if you had a dose of the medicine that was as big as the planet Earth, it might still not have a single molecule of the active ingredient in it, because it's diluted so much. So it's extremely diluted.
For the record, this is an in-joke between doctors. They refer to a placebo as, homeopathic levels of medicine.
Yeah, it's...
because it all gets all of its benefit just from, the placebo effect, that you think you should feel better.
Yeah, that seems to be, for these highly diluted, there are less diluted versions of homeopathic medicines, but for the highly diluted versions, yes, like, for example, I can't pronounce it, but that French flu thing, oscillinium that we can get in the drugstores here, it's the most heavily selling flu medication in France, and we can buy it here in the United States now. It is diluted to, let's see, the potency is 200 C, meaning that it's diluted by a factor of 10 to the 4,000. So it's really, really, really diluted. So there's very, very little chance that you're going to get, and it's a ground up duck liver or duck lungs or whatever. And so there's very little chance that if you take a few milliliters of this medication, you're actually going to get any of the active ingredient, which is a duck liver or something. That's one thing that's controversial about it. Another thing that's controversial about it is it relies on something called the law of similars. So what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to take a look at some kind of a substance, could be a plant or an animal substance or a mineral substance, a chemical substance, that causes the same symptoms in a healthy individual as the symptoms of the sick person is experiencing. So, say, fever or sweating or whatever, you find something from the homeopathic list of medications, the pharmacopedia, that causes those symptoms, and then you give them not the dose that would cause those symptoms, but an extremely dilute version of that. Extremely dilute. And most of, especially in the extremely dilute cases, most of the action probably is due to placebo. There are less dilute versions, which you can get. For example, Zicam is something we can buy here in the United States. That one's actually not particularly dilute. And in fact, some people lost their sense of smell from taking it because it wasn't very dilute. And then they sued them, and they got a big chunk of money from the company that produces Zicam. So,
is there a problem? I mean, I'm getting, you know, you're going very deeply into the specific homeopathic sort of the nature of homeopathy. But is there a problem with the difference, or is there a difference, in fact, between what you might call neutral points of view and scientific points of view?
Yeah. Uh-oh. Do you really want to ask that?
Yeah,
that's
kind of a question, though.
Well,
this has been argued about endlessly.
The only reason I say, I mean, I guess this is top of my head stuff, and I'm probably diving feet first into a huge fire, but I've recently reread my well-thumbed copy of Richard Dawkins' God Delusion, which is no matter what your beliefs are, actually, from the devout to the secular to the whatever, it's well worth a read no matter what. But he outlines in some detail what is a very valid scientific hypothesis for the ludicrous nature of belief in the existence of God, for instance. And that to me is again, you've got this tension that emerges between a scientific point of view and a neutral point of view. And Phil, that has been discussed ad nauseam, has it?
It has, although there are, at this point now, most of the people that bring that up are people like, well, I don't even know if I should mention his name, but there are a couple of people who are proponents of rewriting NPOV, the neutral point of view, completely, and they use this argument that us big bad mean science people want to define natural neutral point of view as the scientific point of view, the SPOV, and they use that as a straw man to attack us. I think most of us realize that if we want to be encyclopedic, it's good for us to discuss these fringe topics, but to have a good, healthy helping of the mainstream or scientific point of view in these cases. For example, if you go to Encyclopedia Britannica and look up homeopathy or World Book or Funk and Wagnalls, they'll have a good third of the article will be the scientific
point
of view.
In fact, I do believe the ARBCOM more or less, one of the ARBCOM decisions I authored more or less said that. That was the one about, give me a second here. It was